What I was thinking about doing this morning, Catherine, I was thinking about ambushing you with a topic that,
okay.
that you're not prepared for because we didn't discuss it beforehand.
Okay, that's fine. Go.
You know, I'm somewhat obsessed with copyright law.
Okay.
I don't like copyright, generally speaking.
Okay.
Well, I like the idea of copyright. I just think in the United States it's way overused.
Okay.
So I was thinking the other day, what if there was no copyright? And conversely, what if there was just all copyright? Like if you copyrighted something, it would never expire. So basically erasing the public domain. Nothing would be in the public domain. Once something mm-hmm. is created, it would always be owned by, so there would be ownership attached to it and someone could always own it and control it.
I think people would like that.
And that would obliterate the public domain. There would be mm-hmm. nothing that people could use or reuse without paying someone.
Right.
Those are kind of the two extremes. Like, we don't have that extreme, right? We do have copyright, mm-hmm. but it's almost infinite because it's, I don't know what the terms are now. I think it's the lifetime of the author plus 80 years.
Something like that.
Which is essentially forever. Most copyright is going to be completely useless after that point. It's culturally irrelevant.
Right.
So some things persist. You know, Star Wars will probably persist 80 years after George Lucas is dead. That is assuming he ever dies.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not.
I mean, he doesn't seem exactly like a human, so I'm not assuming that he is.
Right. Okay. Well, those are two interesting concepts. I think the lack of copyright would just be a free-for-all, right?
Yes. Which do you think would be worse? Or which do you think would be better?
I think in some ways, lack of copyright might be worse because then it wouldn't protect the creator at all. There'd be zero protection. And then everyone can just abscond ideas and designs and it would just be a free-for-all. Yet, if you own everything, then what are the limitations? I guess my question is, like, what are the boundaries or limitations of the copyright? Is it like ideas? Is it expression? Is it words? I mean, how far does it go?
It's the same idea as the copyright now. If you create something, it cannot be copied in whole.
Right.
You can copy parts of it as long as it's not confusing. I'm bringing trademark a little bit, but it's, you know,
right.
You can't, as long as you're not confusing
someone. Yeah, I still get
someone,
those confused a lot, trademark and copyright.
Trademark makes a lot more sense to me.
Trademark does make a lot more sense.
In theory, is designed to protect the consumer because it's designed to say, look, if you're making cameras, you can't, mm-hmm. and you're not Sony, you can't make mm-hmm. your brand look enough like Sony to confuse people. If people are
right.
confused that they're thinking they're buying a high quality Sony camera, but they're buying your junk, Catherine.
Right. My junk.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I think nothing would be worse than everything, but everything might lock it down too much.
Patent law is kind of like that now. People go crazy trying to patent every possible thing.
Right.
So that if anything actually is ever created, they can come back and say, oh, I have a patent for that.
I own the patent. Right.
And
exactly. I was thinking you read my mind. I think that would be worse.
I didn't read your mind. I had that idea myself before I even told you.
Okay.
So I don't know what was, I would never try to read your mind.
Right. I'm right there with you.
I would never do that kind of dumpster diving. That's just not the kind of dumpster diving I'm interested in.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, I think people would go crazy and try to copyright every conceivable thing. And I think the creative world would be an unending stream of litigation. Like everybody suing everyone all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
so maybe more
this
would
is,
be worse.
This is too close to my copyright. You can't have Luke Skywalker or this, that, or the other
right.
thing. Because, you know, you look back at Luke Skywalker and he was a conglomeration of a lot of different tropes that came before him. In the 1940s and 50s movies, those little movies that they had, I can't remember what they're called. Star Wars is a good example. Star Wars is just a reuse of everything that came before it. There's nothing really mm-hmm. super new about Star Wars except in the way it's mm-hmm. combined and mm-hmm. the quality of the story and the quality of special effects.
Right. And special effects like that are rooted in every time frame that they made a movie because things just changed.
What?
So much. I mean, you know, like the initial special effects, everyone was like jazzed, like how the letters came at you or went away from you or whatever it was. And then now
there's so much
CGI.
No. And that crawl, the opening mm-hmm. crawl, that was mm-hmm. copied from another film.
Okay, see?
So that wasn't original.
So you'd never be able to use anything. So
right.
that might shut down creativity even more. And then I guess in terms of zero copyright, maybe that is like a far better concept, because then everyone's work would individually stand on its own. And even if you copied like my drawing of a cat, God forbid, it would be your execution. You know, it would have to stand on its own more. Do you think?
I think there would be more creativity because people would be spurred to have to do their own thing. I think the danger there is having no copyright is that you would be potentially at the mercy of large companies. Large companies gobbling up everything they see. Like they see something they're interested in, they can just go and take it. And as an artist, do you have any chance of ever breaking into a system that might be controlled like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we want a world that has no copyright or has that all copyright. Mm-hmm. I think those are bad choices. So it just gives us an idea of maybe we move a little bit towards less copyright or a little bit towards more copyright, depending upon which what copyright is really doing.
Well, I wish that the copyright law, that it wasn't so lengthy. You know, it would be nice to have a limit like, 50 years, 25 years, something that sunsets like a little more in the recent time, so things could still be relevant.
I think part of this was because we've been watching this show called Babylon 5. A bad sci-fi show. Well, I shouldn't say bad. For sci-fi nerds, it's considered one of the best sci-fi shows because it was actually written as an arc, as a 5-season arc.
Okay.
Nothing else is quite like that. Deep Space Nine is a little bit like that, but they get off track pretty easily.
Right. Not familiar with either, but okay.
Babylon 5 is a story of a space station, and it's got the best arc. It's got really good storytelling. It's got a couple of good characters and a couple of good actors, but there's a lot of bad acting and a lot of bad writing. So it can be a little bit hard to watch at times.
Okay.
So I always imagine that someone takes that and remakes it. Because it's like The Expanse. The Expanse is one of the best sci-fi things. And it's kind of like, and The Expanse has great arcs as well. But it's just a lot newer. If someone took Babylon 5 and remade it with the quality of The Expanse, you'd have another blockbuster or another fantastic sci-fi series. You could fix all the problems with it.
And they can't do it because of copyright is what you're saying.
Right. And the copyright holder is kind of strangled, like so many properties. They kind of have a stranglehold on it and won't let anyone do anything with it. So great ideas just go off and die because the big corporations hold the copyright to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, did you want to talk about something today?
I don't know. I'll give you a quick update on my dog.
Oh,
I took him to the vet yesterday. Because remember, he wasn't eating and he's had all these food issues.
You don't want to remember. No,
but I don't know. And you got to know, you remember he's a Chihuahua. And so I took him and they weighed him and I had them weigh him like 4 times. I'm like, please, no, there's no way. I know he was filling out, but there's no way he weighs 10.3 pounds. The breed standard for males, I think, is 6. So we've got a little issue here.
Does he look big?
He doesn't look big. He looks like, what he looks like? He looks like a mini Aussie with a Chihuahua mix, except he's purebred. I mean, I've got his whole lineage. And he may have thrown a gene or something. He's a bigger boy, and I'm so happy with him. So I don't want to starve him. My vet's like, just don't starve him to get him to breed standard. He goes, he's a bigger dog, but he's good. Anyway, that was it.
Great.
Update.
So was there anything you wanted to talk about today?
Oh, well, I just,
Than your dog.
Well, since it was just Valentine's Day, I saw that Banksy had installed a mural that was then removed. And I actually liked it.
Part of it was removed.
Right. The Valentine's Day mural. And it was called the Valentine's Day Mascara.
Oh, was it? I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, as a statement on domestic violence. And it was a mural of a woman dressed in kind of like 1950s-ish attire with yellow gloves. And she's got lipstick on and a big kind of black eye on the right. And then there's an actual freezer and some chairs and stuff, like it's kind of against a wall. And then just little legs of a man sticking out of the freezer as if she...
And the best image is the image that Banksy has of this. He took a picture of it after he's done. And you can see that his mural, which includes the woman and the legs of the man. And what's in front of that mural is a freezer, an actual freezer. Discarded garbage freezer, and then a broken chair. And I like that image because it not only has the freezer, but it also has the broken chair. And I think the broken chair actually has an important role in that. It shows there's a little bit more violence in the scene when you have a broken chair like that.
I think on the same day that he he released this, or however you want to say it, allegedly the city council came and removed the freezer because they said it was a hazard and they needed to, quote unquote, make it safe.
Well, that's true. I agree with that. The freezers are notorious for getting people killed. You get inside the freezer and then you can't open from the inside and then you die because you suffocate. But people have been complaining about it for months and they hadn't done anything about it.
Oh, they had?
Did you not read the articles you sent me?
I read the article. No, I read it. I was just focused on the freezer being removed because I thought it kind of destroyed the vibe. And then they returned the freezer.
It's a little bit more trippy without it because you just have these legs. There's an implication. I'm not going to say this is not his strongest work. I think it lacks a little bit of subtlety that he usually has.
It
lacks
a little
bit of mastery. It lacks the mastery of really using the things around you. But I do think his picture, and we'll link to it, is the best. And so the council took it away, and then there was an uproar, and they brought it back. Mm-hmm. And then, allegedly, the owner of the property on which this was painted contacted the gallery, and the gallery came and took it away again, took the freezer away again. And they said, oh, we want to make sure we protect it. Do you want to protect it, or do you want to sell it? That's my question.
Yeah, and the chair is gone in subsequent images.
Right. It seems like you could probably find a broken chair, though, to put there. If you were in, and then they also covered it in plexiglass, which I think is just is some kind of weird fetish about trying to protect these things and keep them. They're wall art. They're a specific kind of art. They're not meant to last forever. Don't put plexiglass on it. It really ruins the aesthetic.
It really does. And that in the picture in the Art News article, it's very distracting with the plexiglass.
Yeah, it looks like a framed piece now.
Yes. I just thought that was interesting. I liked that he released something on Valentine's Day.
I dislike that. That's my biggest complaint about this. Domestic violence is an important topic to respond to, but why do it on Valentine's Day? Why do you have to bring down Valentine's Day?
That's a fair point. I think it's because everyone's like kind of romanticizing everything, and sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So just let them have a day.
Let them have a day.
I am not an advocate for Valentine's Day by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm not. Absolutely not.
And I married the perfect woman because I had to remind her on the 14th that it was Valentine's Day. Like halfway through the day, I said, oh, by the way, did you know it's Valentine's Day? She's like, what? No. Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Happy, happy. Yeah, a friend visited me on Valentine's Day, popped in. It was fun. But anyway, no, I don't mind. It didn't. I don't care that he brings it down because I don't care about Valentine's Day, but I thought it was maybe it got more attention because of that.
You didn't take Chance out for a romantic evening dinner?
No.
Well, no wonder he's so depressed.
He's not depressed. Maybe he is depressed.
Right.
Maybe I should get him a friend.
Yes, you should get him a cat.
No, I'm allergic to cats. No, and cats are his nemesis.
I love there's a TikToker who has a really big dumb dog and a really aggressive small cat, and they fight all the time, and the cat usually kicks the dog's ass.
Oh,
but
no.
But it's play fighting. The cat still wins, though.
No, this dog, if I changed his name, I changed it to Velcro because he's just always on me. He just wants to be with me constantly.
And this is the thing about cats and dogs. Like a dog, most dogs are kind of dumb. They're smart, but they're kind of dumb. Because they've been removed, they're removed from their natural, they're not wolves anymore, they're dogs. They don't fight like wolves. They can fight dirty, but a lot of domesticated dogs don't really know how to fight. Cats remember how to fight, partly because they're smaller, so cats who don't know how to fight don't last very long. You can see the animal instinct of the cat, and the kind of the dumbed down version of the dog fight, and it's almost not fair. I mean, Jesus, is there any good news in the world?
Jesus. Speaking of.
Yes?
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I watched part of the Super Bowl, but then I got depressed because I didn't really like the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want them to win.
Did they win?
So I watched the first possession, and what that means is kickoff, Eagles got the ball. And they run it until they lose possession, which means they give the ball up. And that first possession, they got a touchdown. So basically, they received the ball. They had a couple of first down, or maybe two first downs. Basically, they ran it back and got a touchdown on their first possession, which is not a good way to start off the Super Bowl if you're the opposing Kansas City Chiefs, to lose on the first possession like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched that. That was pretty quick. That was 2 or 3 minutes worth of playtime. Except I did the stupid thing. I didn't want to miss the kickoff, which was supposed to be at 4:30. So I tuned in at 4:20. I was inundated with 25 minutes of crap before they actually got to the actual kickoff, which, so that was 15 minutes after it was supposed to kick off. Anyway, I can't go with the nonsense. It's just too much. So I turned it off, and then I turned in a little while later, a while longer later, and I got the last 2 minutes of the first half, which took forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I tuned in, and the Chiefs had come back. They tied the game. And then I turned it on, and I watched the Eagles score another touchdown. It's like, okay, I can't watch any more of this. Which was good, because apparently in the second half, the Chiefs came back and whomped the Eagles and won the Super Bowl in the end. So that's because of me.
Okay.
If I'm not watching, they can win.
Oh, the Chiefs won?
Every time I turn on the TV, they got their asses kicked.
Oh, okay.
So by me turning off the TV, they won. So got they it. Should pay me 1% of the proceeds that they got from the Super Bowl.
That's never going to happen.
You know, if they want to win again, I just 1%. Is that too much to ask?
I thought Philadelphia won. That's how much I was paying attention.
Right. What I did miss was the Jesus commercial.
I missed all of it, right.
Which apparently got a lot of people really twisted up. And have you seen the commercial?
I saw one. Was it the one with the kids or something?
No. No, it was people yelling at each other.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah, so I saw two of them. Yes.
What did you think of that ad?
Because everything's so partisan, I couldn't tell, like, which side, I guess. What point are you trying to make, you know?
I thought the point was very clear. What did the ad make you think? What was your reaction to the ad?
It just kind of irritated me.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't want any messaging about anything other than, like, beer or, you know, cosmetic, whatever, you know.
I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. So
I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. But, you know, I missed the old Clydesdale ad. You know, I didn't even know if they had those. I really didn't watch it. I was doing other stuff around here.
Was that for smoking or for beer?
I don't know.
Either way.
I wasn't watching it. You know, it's like, but I saw this after the fact.
Right, right.
And I thought, oh, why would they put that on the Super Bowl?
Just as an ad, I'm interested in your reaction to it.
I'll have to look at it again. I really didn't.
Okay, go ahead. Take your time.
Yeah,
HTTPS. Love your enemies. Because I didn't see it. I'm assuming that the BBC is reported as a screenshot of the one that actually was featured, but that may be a big assumption. And Orquez mentioned fascism, and this is the one kind of looks like fascism.
Maybe I didn't watch the right one. That wasn't the one I saw.
Okay.
So right. I guess I was.
No, I get it, because there are a lot of them, and yeah. It's not the first one that comes up. So what did you think of the ad?
I thought it was actually pretty good. The imagery was violent.
It wasn't violent. It was confrontational.
Yeah, it was confrontational, aggressive. It made me uncomfortable. And that song, I've heard that song before. I can't remember who the artist is, but it's good. It doesn't matter. But then at the end, it's just kind of, why Jesus? Why not just a more inclusive message?
This is a Christian organization.
It is a Christian organization.
They're selling Jesus.
They're selling Jesus.
So the ad is a bunch of black and white still images, mm-hmm. of people yelling at each other, confrontation. And then at the end, it says, Jesus loves the people you hate.
Jesus loves the people you hate. Right. Okay.
As a Christian message goes, that's pretty much as good as it can get,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Okay.
You know, the Christians get themselves tripped up with that thing, that Bible thing, which, mm-hmm. people use to their own ends. Like, the Bible says nothing, right? Mm-hmm. It's all how it's interpreted. And people interpret it to fit their own goals and their own narratives. So whatever, mm-hmm. they're saying is whatever they want to say, and the Bible has no part of it.
So overall, did you like the message? Did you like that they're selling Jesus?
I think it was a great ad, and I think it's the best way to sell Jesus. I'm not a Jesus guy.
I'm not a Jesus guy.
I don't believe, but there are, mm-hmm. messages in the New Testament and some in the Old Testament that are worth spreading. There are, mm-hmm. some good ideas in pretty much everything. Well, maybe not everything, but a lot of things. There are a lot of good messages you can actually pull out of the Bible if you so choose.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really positive one. And the idea, obviously, is that try to be more compassionate to the people you, mm-hmm. think are your enemies, because we're all just human. Mm-hmm. We're all here trying to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could be a little bit more understanding and forgiving, we could probably get along a little better. So I think it was a great ad, but, you know, people lost their minds apparently on both sides of the aisle.
On both sides of the aisle, they did.
What would Cortez say?
Oh, she said that something tells me Jesus would not spend millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads to make fascism look benign.
I think that was an absolutely terrible way to read that ad. That was kind of reprehensible to put that spin on it. And then the right wing got upset too.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk, the founder of the right wing campus group Turning Point USA, he said the advertisements pander to liberals. And in the past, I guess he called the campaign, in quotes, one of the worst services to Christianity in the modern era, and the people behind it are woke tricksters.
Well, you know why I think they made them mad on the right?
Why?
Because this is effective messaging. This is a genuinely good ad, and the right wing is really bad at doing that. So they are just envious of someone who can actually do it right.
I don't know. I don't think.
I'm just being. Yeah, that's just.
I know. I think.
That's my hot take, Catherine.
That's your hot take? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give it to you. I'm not as far to the left as AOC. I understand her point. I understand her point because I did a little bit of a dive looking at the, you know, the Servant Foundation and the things that kind of back up this He Gets Us scenario.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I looked on the He Gets Us website, and the first thing I saw on the website, did you go to the website?
Only to see the videos.
Okay. Well, the first thing, when you click on the website, the first message you get is He Gets Us has an agenda.
Of course.
And so at least they're being transparent about that. And then they have all of their stuff.
You don't spend millions of dollars on an ad for no reason, just because you think it's artistic or something. You have a message. You have a point. You have something you're trying to do.
I looked up the billionaire donor, that guy who right. owns, you know, and his whole take was like, basically, none of this is mine. It's all Jesus. And if I have stuff, it's all from God, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. You know what I'm saying? If I've got a lot of stuff, it's because God gave it to me.
Yeah.
So it's by the benevolence of God.
I get your point now.
Yeah. So Mussolini also said that, you know, because he didn't think democracy was suitable for Italy. And he said the freedom isn't the right of the people. It's the kindness of the state. So any riches or whatever, it's like the kindness of your benefactor, God or Jesus. You know, to take it further, depending on the sweet will of the state, you know, it was whether to give rights to people or not. And so basically, I took the fascism route, I guess. It doesn't take
me long. Okay, so if you have to dig down into it. But I was just looking at the message itself. And mm-hmm. I think the message itself and the ad, I don't think you can tie that back to fascism. Now, the person who's behind it, maybe he's a fascist. He doesn't sound like a fascist. It sounds like he's just twisting Christianity. He's twisting the Bible to make it sound okay to be a billionaire.
Exactly.
Which gets back to my earlier point. People just twist it to make it sound like everything. The fact is, in the Bible does say, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. I guess he didn't read that part, right? Because that's a very clear expression of what Jesus and the Lord think of rich people.
Right.
You can't really twist that.
Right.
People have tried to twist that around, but it's completely unsupported by the data.
Mm-hmm.
So I get your point, but I stand by my statement. I think this is a bad take by Orchid, and I on both sides. I think it's bad. I think they're just twisting it to make their own points. I think it was a great ad, and if there's any value in Christianity, this is the kind of stuff that we should be taking from it.
Yeah, maybe you can turn it around.
So, Catherine, do you think you're going to have a hard time getting through the eye of a needle?
No.
Not our bank accounts, at least, right? I think both of us can pass both of our bank accounts together through the eye of a needle.
Yes, I think it's as big as the eye of a needle at this point.
So fascism beneath, but not on the surface.
Well, I was trying to understand her point, and I guess I can make you had to dig way deep to understand her point was my point.
I'm not sure if it's super deep, but I you know. It's there somewhere.
Well, yeah, and I don't know that it's fascistic or not.
Well, Catherine.
Yes?
What is fascism to you? Or do you want me to go first?
Go first.
Fascism is based on authoritarianism. That's a root.
Right.
Fascism, and you know, everyone has their own, it seems like they have their own definition
exactly.
of fascism, but this is my version. So it's authoritarian root,
mm-hmm.
but it's connected to business. Like business and the state are enmeshed in a very uncomfortable way. So business and the state enmeshed, authoritarianism, and very, very, very importantly, there's one person at the top, and he is the speaker of the party. He is the party himself. Everything is wound up around this cult of personality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a key component to it. Whatever is good for that person is good for the country and vice versa. That's my definition.
I think you nailed it.
Great. I guess we can move on. So are you a fascist?
No. I don't think so.
I kind of want to be a fascist if I was in charge.
Well, everyone who wants to be in charge.
Because if I was in charge, you know, my first two priorities would be building more nuclear power plants and solar and wind. Those would be my first two big priorities as a fascist leader, dictator.
I don't have any desire to be a leader. How's that?
Do you not lead your household?
I'm tired.
You're a fascist monster when it comes to your household. You don't let anything happen there that you don't approve of.
Oh, God. I have to run a tight ship, man. Me, the CEO of a
See, that's exactly what a fascist would say. Exactly. Right there. You are a fascist. See, okay. It's the ones who claim not to be fascists who are the real fascists.
Yeah, the fascist podcast. Oh, my God. This is really devolved.
I run my household the way I want it, so I know I'm a fascist here. It's like I don't let anybody wash the dishes but me because my son does it, they're not clean. My wife does it, and she breaks the dishes. So no, it's me. I wash the dishes.
They just played you.
Those bastards.
They just played you. You thought you were in charge.
Oh, I can't trust anyone.
You thought you were in charge. So.
Of course, I don't trust you either. I mean, A, you hate the Super Bowl, and B, you hate Jesus. So you're the least American person on this podcast.
I don't hate Jesus.
Okay. You just hate his ads.
They weren't his ads. He came down and made that ad.
That is his ad.
Well, every religion, has its vibe, right? And I think the Christian vibe has gotten twisted.
It depends on the person giving the speech.
Well,
yeah,
it does. It does. But, I kind of like room for everything.
I'm not quite as nice as you, I guess.
Why? What do you want?
I don't have room for everybody.
Why?
I don't have time for people who twist the words to suit their own interests. While
no, I mean room for all religions, room for all belief systems.
Well, that's
just
what
room.
That's what I'm saying, though. That people make their own belief systems that I disagree with, and I think we don't need, and I think are bad. The anti-gay thing comes right out of the Bible, but it's such a small little thing, and it's right. So you have to, if you actually look and read and do the research, it's very narrow. It's very limited. It's like not even that important. It's barely important. Yet a lot of modern Christians, American Christians, seem to have that as a basal foundation for their religion. Like you can't be gay. Like that's like the worst thing you could do.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of the Christianity to me has gotten twisted, and they'll take things and use it for, these like the anti-gay agendas and racial agenda, whatever it is. But I'm talking about like more inclusion. It's like, I think this country is really a quote-unquote Christian nation, and I might get some heat for that, but there's a lot of other faiths, a lot of other philosophies, that it's like, why do we have to like lockstep into one thing? And so when this organization that was doing this commercial, like one of, in that CNN clip, and they're like, yeah, we want to unify the American people around the love and forgiveness of Jesus, that sounds kind of good on one hand, and on the other hand, it's like, what are you saying, that now we all have to be Christians? Because that's kind of what I hear. And that's where I think Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez's statement doesn't rankle me to the degree that it did when I first read it. I was like, whoa, that's harsh. And then it's like, well, there's room for a lot of different takes on this. And what if we don't believe that? What if we don't want to unify behind that?
If you focus on the love and forgiveness part, or the Jesus part, that's depending, you can focus on one part of that message or the other. Mm-hmm. And there are two, strong messages there.
Right. But the unify part.
And it puts a spin on Christianity, and it's a spin that I think is more positive than harmful.
Okay.
It's not coming out and saying we should kill people because they're Muslims or Jewish or Jews. It's saying we should rally around something that brings us together, not tears us apart.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't say anything negative yet. That's my point.
Slippery slope.
But that's my point. Unify around this, and it sounds really good, but what is the real message? And I guess that's where
that is the message, though. That's the message they have right now. That's the message they're giving. Mm-hmm. If you want to...
Well, we'll see.
You don't know what their next message is going to be. This is their message right now.
Right.
So take it at face value.
Yeah, so I guess I hear what AOC is saying.
It's a bad take. I think she's assigning it the worst intentions that you can. And I don't think that's fair to do. I don't think you should assign the worst intention immediately to a message that you see. Sometimes it's okay to be positive about things and not assume the worst of people.
We'll see where this goes.
Except for people who don't watch the Super Bowl, obviously.
You and me.
You don't want them around.
Well, neither of us really do.
I watched some of the Super Bowl just enough to know that I can't watch it if I want the Chiefs to win.
I heard it.
So I did my duty and turned it off.
Yeah, I heard it. I was doing other things. I just really...
Just like everyone should do their duty right now and turn off this podcast.
Yes.